I hate to say it, but we just live in a broken world, don't we? It seems like the world around us has so many problems. And this is a picture of a young fighter in Ukraine. I think he probably, more than the rest of us, realizes this world is just in terrible shape. I never fought in a war. Some of you did. And the agony that accompanies warfare, it was well described by several of the generals in World War II. It's war as hell. And we live in a world that it seems like it's filled with war. Jesus made a statement to his apostles that is, on its face, an amazing statement. He said, I leave my peace with you. I give my peace to you. I do not give it to you as the world does. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. That statement on its face is an amazing statement, but when you couple that with the idea that this was in the last week of Jesus' life, he knew that the cross was coming. He knew that the Roman authorities would do everything they could to inflict pain on him. And he said to his disciples, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. The world doesn't know peace that Jesus brings. You know, it's far more positive than just the absence of war. As important as it must be to a man who is in a foxhole, there's more to peace than just the cessation of war. If that's all it was, that's fairly easy to accomplish. The Romans accomplished that. It was called Pax Romana. If you get out of line, we will destroy you. So they established peace, and for a number of years, the world really was absent conflict. But think about that for a minute. The Romans said, if you get out of line, we will destroy you. The absence of war is not enough. We look around us, and there are people today who are willing to say, if you get out of line, if you do not hew to the line that the government establishes, we will unleash on you everything that the government has. We will make your life miserable until you get back in line, until you again do what we tell you to do. Jesus' peace can impact any circumstance in which we find ourselves. It's just that amazing. Philippians, the fourth chapter, at verse 7, from the New International Reader's Version, the Apostle Paul says this, God's peace will watch over your hearts and your minds because you belong to Christ Jesus. God's peace can never be completely understood. I know that it's beyond me to really comprehend what Jesus said when he told his disciples, don't be afraid. I come up with some explanations, and I, I think about this and I think about that, and I'm just sure that I don't understand it, but I want to think about some parts of it this morning. The peace that Jesus brings is positive. Peace that Jesus brings impacts the circumstances in which we live, and we need to understand that it's the peace of God. It's God's peace that He gives to us. We're not talking about peace with God. We will talk about that, and if you can come back in the next couple of weeks, we'll be talking about how to have peace with God. But this morning, I want to think about the peace that God gives us. You can see it in Philippians, the fourth chapter. Look at the way he describes his life, the Apostle Paul. In verse 4, Paul says that it's what fueled his joy. He said, always be joyful because you belong to the Lord. I'll say it again. Be joyful. This peace that God gives is the source of the graciousness that we can extend to other people. Look at verse 5 in Philippians 4. Don't worry about anything. Instead, talk to God about everything. Ask and pray. Give thanks to Him. Everything that we have because of God's blessing. So we can extend ourselves to other people in imitation of what God has done for us. In verse 6, the apostle continues. He says, this peace that God gives is what powers our prayers. Look at verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, tell God about everything. Ask and pray. Give thanks to Him. Before, I should have read verse 5. Verse 5 says, let everyone know how gentle you are. The Lord is coming soon. So there's this tremendous peace. It does things for us that we just can't understand. And you know, it lets us follow through. It's not just a peace that comes in waves and affects us once in a while. It's something that we have in our lives constantly. Look at Philippians, the fourth chapter, and verse 19. He says, my God will meet all your needs. He will meet them in keeping with his wonderful riches that come to you because you belong to Jesus Christ. What a great blessing that God's peace enables us to continue. Yes, we need it. And there are times in our lives when we need it even more than we need it at other times. But God's peace is always, always with us. The second thing that I understand about peace is that it doesn't come from circumstances. It exists in spite of circumstances, or it exists over those circumstances. And it helped Paul to frame his experiences from a spiritual perspective in the same way that Jesus was able to face the cross. Jesus did it with equanimity. Jesus was not afraid. The Romans took his life, or at least the Romans thought they were taking his life, Jesus said, "No man takes my life from me, I lay it down." So the Apostle Paul. The Roman authorities arrested him on a number of different occasions. The Jews persecuted him from town to town. He was in shipwreck. But you know, in all of that, the Apostle Paul knew that there was a peace. Do I understand that? Not completely. I catch glimpses of it once in a while. I've seen people who were facing surgery, who as they're wheeled into the operating room, have a smile on their face. They know that this is in God's hands. Everything is good. What does that mean? That you have a peace in your life. My wife always tells me I'm the so what preacher. So, what does that mean? Well, I can see some things active here. The first thing that I see is that the peace of God guards my mind. Guard is a word that comes from a military use. We're familiar with the soldier who has to stand a post. If you saw A Few Good Men, you heard about standing your post. Guard is what a soldier does when he stands his post and he protects against enemy aggression. You will not overrun this position. So peace is a guard. It's a guard at the door of your heart, the door of your mind against the corrosive aspects of worry. Stands over our minds, fighting against the unworthy and the inaccurate thoughts that we harbor that wreak havoc in our mind. I was admitted to college, and there was a part of me that said, they don't know what they're doing. They've admitted me to this college, and they think I'm smart. They think that I can do this. And I was deathly afraid that one day they would discover that I'm not that smart. And I can't do this. Let me tell you how corrosive that worry can be. I checked myself out of a hospital after I'd had a heart attack so I could go take a final in one of my classes because I was afraid that if they knew how dumb I was, they'd kick me out. Anybody ever been there? You go to work when you drag yourself out of bed because you're afraid. If you don't go to work, they're going to find out that you're not a very good worker. And they're going to fire you. You know, Dean talked about going to church for the very first time with Vicky. And you sit there and you think, these people really don't know what I've done. If they knew, they wouldn't want to have anything to do with me. I had that fear when I asked Kim to marry me, that she was going to say no. Right? Anybody else feel that? You want to ask the girl to go to the dance, and you're just afraid, totally afraid, that she knows that you can't dance. And she's going to be embarrassed that she ever came there with you. So this peace of God stands guard over your heart, over your mind. It prevents you from entertaining the kinds of thoughts that can destroy you. So we've all heard about PTSD, survivor's guilt. Something terrible happens, and I walk away. And I feel this incredible guilt. Well, the next thing that peace does, because it can stand guard over my mind, over my heart, it can protect me from fear. In John, the 14th chapter, verse 27, passage that we looked at just as we began, the place where we'll end, Jesus tells his apostles, don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. Peace stands as a fortress against fear. Remember, the context of Jesus making that statement is his impending crucifixion. Don't let your hearts be afraid. Sometimes we worry about the past. Sometimes we worry about all of the things that we've done, the poor decisions that we've made, the mistakes that we've made in the past, and those things can trouble us. But you know, I'm convinced that it's the future that generates the most anxiety. We worry about what's going to happen. And I think in terms of what this peace that God gives means in my life, it's to be seen in the fact that God will forgive the past. I can put on Jesus' sacrifice and baptism, wash myself in the blood of Christ, figuratively. I can be buried. I can put the old man to death. That's because of what Jesus did. That's the peace that you can't get any other way. I rise to walk in newness of life. I can be a new creature. I'm not weighed down by all of those things that I have done. Jesus will forgive the past. Don't worry that at some point in time, once Jesus has forgiven you, he'll remember again. He won't. The second thing it means is that Jesus stands with me now. He pleads my case now. And that's a wonderful blessing. Yes, I'll need Jesus every day. But that's what he promised. And Jesus secures your future. There is a heaven, and we want to go there. We want to escape this broken world, and we want to live where those difficulties don't beset us. Jesus forgives the past, he stands with you in the present, and he guarantees your future. And that's all that really matters, isn't it?